Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson. Many business owners want to give back to their communities. This may come in the form of charity donations, sponsoring events, or even giving charity space inside or outside a storefront to hand out information, place donation bins, and collect donations. Unfortunately, some business owners learn the hard way that not all charities or fundraisers are legitimate, and some are downright fraudulent. The FTC is taking aim at these illegal charities, especially those that falsely claim to help veterans and service members. I'd like to welcome Tracy Thorleifson. She is an attorney with the FTC's Northwest Regional Office. She's been working on charity and fundraising fraud for over 25 years. Tracy, you've been doing this for quite a while.
I have, Will. Sadly, the need for this kind of work hasn't changed.
Yeah.
At the FTC, we call it living in a target-rich environment.
Yeah, well, let's start by giving our listeners a general sense of just where we are today, how big this problem is. There have been recent cases of fraudulent charities scamming businesses and consumers out of huge sums of dollars that you can tell us about. In some cases, they're linked to non-existent support for veterans. So give us, again, an idea of how big it is.
Thanks, Will. Well, the FTC, joined by every state attorney general office in the country, as well as the District of Columbia, American Samoa, Guam, and Puerto Rico, recently joined forces to announce Operation Donate with Honor, a major initiative combating fraudulent fundraising for veterans and military causes, with enforcement actions and education efforts. We announced more than 102 enforcement actions brought in 2017 and 2018 against fraudulent fundraisers, sham charities, and others who lied about spending donated money to help veterans. Equally important, we launched an education initiative to help consumers and businesses avoid scams like those we took action against, and to encourage everyone to give wisely.
And Tracy, we want to underscore, it's not just about donating to charities or having a charity that a business cares about a lot that they send money to. It's also about actual on-site people, maybe in front of the store.
That's right, Will. A couple of the actions announced did involve storefront solicitors. In both cases, the storefront solicitor falsely claimed to be registered with the state. And if the business had just done a little research, they could have figured that out. In one of the cases, the solicitor claimed that donations would help homeless veterans and even talked about money supporting a homeless shelter. But the homeless shelter didn't exist. And in the other case, the solicitor said he was a veteran and he wasn't.
So Tracy, when you say 102 enforcement actions, an enforcement action being an actual criminal charge, or what does that mean?
The FTC and its state partners are civil agencies, and the vast majority of these actions were civil cases. The exact type of action depended upon the participant. In some cases, they were assurances of discontinuance. Those are state actions that may or may not be filed in court. In the FTC's case, we file our actions in federal court and take action to stop the deceptive practices and recoup as much money as possible.
Got it. So it's really putting an end to what's happening once you find out about a specific situation.
Right.
And Tracy, the ones that make us, I mean, they can all make you sick to your stomach, but the ones that are attached to helping veterans, supposedly helping veterans, are especially troubling.
That's right, Will. Veterans charity fraud is so egregious because it doesn't just prey on Americans' natural generosity, but it also preys on their patriotism. In one of the cases that I worked on, it was called Help the Vets, and the FTC brought the case with six state co-plaintiffs. Help the Vets used names like American Disabled Veterans Foundation and Vets Fighting Breast Cancer, and they told donors that their money would be used to help disabled veterans, especially amputees and severely injured vets returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. They promised to provide grants and medical care to these veterans. They even claimed to operate a 24/7 suicide prevention hotline and promised to provide financial support to veterans fighting breast cancer. And consumers responded generously. $20 million were donated in 4 years.
$20 million, wow.
And the sad thing is, Help the Vets didn't provide grants or financial assistance. They didn't help amputees and other severely disabled veterans.
Yeah.
95% of the money went to the fundraisers and to the founder of the so-called charity. That 24/7 suicide prevention program, it rang to the founder of Help the Vets cell phone. And his experience, well, many, many, many years ago, he had a degree in psychology from college. He had no specialized training in suicide prevention. But hey, having the cell phone, the suicide prevention line ring to his cell phone made it possible for him to get the charity to pay for his personal cell phone.
It's revolting. And one effect of this could be and can be and is at some points that fraudulent charities can have a real damaging effect on charities that are actually doing good in the world. We want to encourage people, of course, to donate to legitimate charities, and it's a bad cycle, can really hurt those legitimate ones.
Oh, that is so true. Charity fraud hurts society and consumers in many different ways. Obviously, donors who want to help a particular cause, their good intentions are frustrated when their money is diverted and not used for those causes. Legitimate charities are hurt because donors only have so much money. And if they give it to a bad charity, they don't have the money left to give to the good charity. And at the end of the day, it hurts those who are the recipients of the charity. All those veterans who were supposed to get help, they weren't helped.
Yeah. You've been doing this for a long time, as we mentioned. How did this recently come to the attention of the FTC, or at least this initiative, Donate with Honor? And who is the FTC working with to combat the crime?
Well, in Donate with Honor, the Federal Trade Commission partnered with the National Association of State Charities Officials, called NASCO. That's the state group of charity regulators and enforcement authorities that oversee charitable solicitation and charitable registration, among other things. We focused on veterans fundraising fraud because we saw a need. Over the years, fundraising for veterans is one of those perennial favorites that fraudulent fundraisers focus on. Some others are police and firefighters' causes,
Yeah. Sick
children, animals, veterans. It's a bit of a litany. If they find a donor who will give to a veterans' cause, the fundraisers will then solicit the same donor for firefighters and police and sick children, and then repeat.
So it's so important that you're working with all of these different organizations, Tracy, because as you've already mentioned, there are groups out there who will stop at nothing to steal people's money.
That's so true, Will. And the lengths which some of these solicitors will go are truly remarkable. The things that get said to try to cause people to give money to sham charities are sometimes amazing. In the Help the Vets case, one of the direct mail solicitations actually had this statement in it. It asked the donor the question, "How many times have you said I'd give an arm and a leg for that special something?" And then the solicitation went on to say, "Many veterans literally gave their arms and their legs in battle to preserve your freedom, your prosperity, and your family's future. You don't have to give an arm and a leg to help our disabled veterans. Your $10 gift will mean so much to a disabled veteran."
It's astonishing to think someone's sitting there writing that, but this is done all the time, and it's easy to understand why people could become a victim to something like a scam like that.
Absolutely.
So let's shift a bit from how awful some of these scams are to what the FTC is doing to make this easier for business owners who want to support charities and maybe have a donation bin or have somebody standing outside their store.
Sure. Sure. Well, as I mentioned, in Operation Donate with Honor, we also launched an education initiative because education is the key. Businesses and donors can protect themselves and find those worthwhile charities, those many worthwhile charities that do deserve our support. And to help businesses, we published a tip sheet that includes information for businesses about how to research if a charity does ask to set up in front of your store. And most helpfully, we also provide, attached to that tip sheet, a PDF of a questionnaire that a business can use to give to the fundraiser or the charity, ask them to fill out the questionnaire. It's just 2 pages, and then the business can use that to do its own quick research, and they'll also have a record. The questionnaire is available at the FTC's website, www.ftc.gov/charity. Look for tips for businesses.
And if we want to drill down just a little bit more, of course, business owners should do what you've suggested. That's the best course of action. What are some actual tips you can leave us with today to help business owners identify and support legit charities?
Well, first, don't be fooled by sympathetic sounding names. Make sure that a charity is more than a sympathetic sounding name, or don't be fooled by sound-alike names. In those 102 enforcement actions, there were 2 against charities that had the words Wounded Warriors in their names, and they were not the National Wounded Warriors. They were just capitalizing on that sound-alike name. Mm. So first, make sure that you're not just being fooled by a good name. And then do research. And there's 3 or 4 things that are easy to check out. Google the name that's given you, the name of the charity.
Yeah.
Google it in connection with the word complaint. Check with your state regulator to make sure that the charity or fundraiser is appropriately registered. Most states require that charities and fundraisers register and will have information about registered fundraisers and charities on a website. You can find a list of state charity regulators and locate your charity regulator by going to ftc.gov/charity, where we provide a link to a list of state charity regulator offices. In addition to Googling the charity and checking to make sure that it's registered, the questionnaire that we provide asks some questions about who the fundraiser is. That is, who's the person who wants to stand in front of your store and ask for money? Has the charity given permission for that person to be there?
Mm-hmm.
And who at the charity is overseeing this? And one of the last questions that the form asked is if the fundraiser has a plan for how to handle cash. There's no right answer to this. It's just a good question to make sure that whoever is raising money has thought through how they're going to protect any cash donations that they receive and how the charity is going to make sure that it gets all of that cash.
It doesn't take a lot to make sure that you're working with a legitimate charity because the scammers are getting better and better at what they do. So take that time to do the simple Google search like you've suggested. Google the word complaint and see what comes up. A little bit of research can go a long way.
Absolutely. And then the corollary to that, Will, if you do find a suspicious fundraiser or charity who's asking to set up in front of your store or asking for your business's support in some other way,
mm-hmm.
please report it. You can report it to your local police, to your state attorney general's office, and to the FTC. We take complaints at ftc.gov, and I would just ask anybody who takes the time to complain to make sure to provide as many details as possible to make it easy for us to follow up and determine whether or not your situation is linked to anyone else's complaint.
Tracy, thanks again for some really great advice and direction on what people can do. And just want to leave people with the thought, we urge business owners, small business owners, medium, large, to donate don't let this hinder them from working with charities and legitimate ones.
I couldn't agree more, Will. Enforcement actions shine a spotlight on some of the really bad actors out there. But don't let these stories discourage anyone from giving. Those 102 enforcement actions we announced, that should give you comfort that the regulators are watching and taking action. There are thousands of legitimate charities out there that will make good use of your donations and that really do help veterans and other charities. And there's many resources available to help you find the good charities and avoid the bad apples.
All right. Tracy Thorleifson, an attorney with the FTC's Northwest Regional Office working on charity and fundraising fraud for over 25 years. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.